You are listening to Thought Thief by K.E. Preston. Chapter 18. Wren. That night, Wren went to sleep holding Rita's vial of oil, rolling it between her fingers as her mind and heart were pulled in two different directions. Her mind was on the door. It kept being drawn back there, like a vulture circling a carcass. She could feel the pull of it still on her hands, the hands that had reached out of their own accord to touch the unknown monster lurking in the depths. What was there? How was it different? Why did it need the extra wards? Her heart was, as always, at home. She put the small, corked bottle to her nose and breathed in the scent. It did not smell like the sea, like the salt and dried ink of her room, but it had come from Rita's kitchen, and that thought alone wrapped her in safety. Wren hated going to sleep, hated what waited for her there, especially in this kingdom of silent servants and cold, echoing halls. But as much as she hated it, she could not fight sleep forever. And eventually, she was pulled into the world of black. Wren looked up into the dark. She was in one of the long, endless halls of Altair. The polished tile went on forever, and the tall windows disappeared into nothing. She was alone as the dark pressed in around her, melting down from the ceiling to trap her in place. And that was when she felt it. The press of a warm body at her back, hands moving up her shoulders to circle around her neck. They were strong hands, firm hands, familiar hands.
"I am looking forward to seeing you," an unwelcome voice whispered in her ear. "See you sleeping, my little Wren."
"Good morning, Demoiselle,"
Marcite's voice trilled, pulling Wren from her dream in a panicked gasp.
"Did you dream pleasant dreams?"
Wren made a noncommittal noise that Marcite took as an affirmative.
"Very good. Now we must get you dressed quickly. The prince is waiting in your salon."
Wren swung her feet out of bed and let them dangle above the floor. "The prince is here now? He cannot even wait until I've had breakfast before he interrupts me?" Marcite, who seemed deaf to Wren's tone, replied with a knowing and teasing smile.
"He seems quite taken with you."
Wren brought her hands up and started rubbing her temples. She had not even had a sip of coffee yet, and she was already getting a headache.
"Can't you just send him away?" she asked on an exhausted sigh.
"You want me to ask the prince to leave?"
Wren watched the spinning top of Marcite's mind begin to wobble and sighed. She could not ask a servant to dismiss their prince, especially when she herself had yet to find a way to effectively tell him no.
"Of course not," Wren sighed. "Send for enough coffee for both of us and ask His Highness if he would like to join me for breakfast. I will be out in a moment."
A quarter of an hour later, Wren emerged from her room wearing one of the loose-fitting gowns Marcite had assured her was appropriate to wear without a corset. The feel of the fabric grazing her back and chest relaxed her. The sensation brushed away bad dreams and reminded her of warm air and the taste of salt on her lips.
"Nelshara,"
Zithril said, springing from his chair to come and greet her.
"Radiant," he said,
taking her by the hand and guiding Wren to her own table.
"As radiant as the morning sun."
Wren was not normally inclined to stop men from complimenting her, even if all reasonable evidence pointed to the compliment being false. That being said, her dreams had left her vexed, and she was annoyed with the prince, the palace, and the entire situation. "Flattery will get you nowhere, Your Highness," she said, pouring herself a cup of coffee from the porcelain teapot on the table.
"Really?"
Zithril said, draping an arm across the back of his chair to lean back and broaden his chest.
"In my experience, flattery will get you everywhere."
Wren smiled and blew out a small, amused breath. She took a bite of her croissant and then looked up to find the prince still watching her.
He bent forward and dropped his voice into an intimate whisper.
"Are you certain you are all right?"
he asked. It was hard not to like this prince, she thought. Most of the time, to most of the world, Zithril wore a mask of flash and show. However, that whisper, that concern for her well-being, that was meant for her and her alone.
"Yes, I'm fine," Rin answered. "Bad dreams."
"Oh," he said, pulling himself straight and allowing the light of his skin to twirl across his cheekbones and tangle in his hair.
"Perhaps that is because I was not there to fight them off."
And just like that, the sun was back in its place. "So," Rin said, leaning away from the table and holding her cup with both hands, "have you come to inform me what the itinerary for today is? Or am I finally allowed to be left up to my own devices?" She took a sip and studied him through the steam of her coffee, drawing up plans and questions for him in her mind. For weeks, she had been forcibly nailed to his side, and now, finally, after discovering him as the chairman of the admissions committee, she was prepared to make good on their forced proximity. Zithril placed a hand on his chest and made his mouth into an O.
"Demoiselle, you speak as if you were a prisoner here and not a guest. Have you not enjoyed my company?"
"I have," Rin replied without hesitation. "And I am also here to do a job, as you know. And as lovely as your company is, it has taken up quite a lot of my time."
"Work, work, work,"
Zithril said, waving his hand through the air and leaning forward to select a biscuit.
"There are so many things you could be focusing on here besides your duties. Your friend will still be waiting for you in a few days."
Rin said nothing, just looked at the prince and raised an implacable eyebrow.
"Oh, very well,"
Zithril exclaimed in a friendly huff.
"If you must know, I came to tell you that I would not be able to join you today. I must prepare for the masquerade tonight."
Rin tried to keep her face neutral.
"Of course. Of course, the second she actually wants to talk to this man, he swans off to plan a party."
"However," the prince continued, "my sister has extended an invitation to you for tea with her this afternoon. She would be an excellent person to ask your questions."
"Yes," Rin said, hoping there was not a catch in her voice. "She would be a very good person to ask a few questions." If Rin could not speak with the prince today, Princess Lithril was possibly the next best thing. She was the princess, the next in line for the throne, a woman Rin absolutely could not refuse, given her own lack of status. However, she was also, quite possibly, the most terrifying person Rin had ever met. The princess was terrifying, the same way the dead eyes of a doll were terrifying, or the pitch-black mouth of a cave was terrifying. Lithril might have been able to hold herself with regal dignity one minute and giggle like a drunken schoolgirl the next, but Rin knew a predator when she saw one. She knew what it felt like to be prey. "Surely this cannot be a private tea," Rin said, stalling for time. "Surely the princess has better things to do than entertain little old me whenever her brother is not available."
"You may be small, but you are far from old,"
Zithril said with a wink and a smile.
"But no, this will not be a private tea. The queen will most likely be there, as well as Lady Morningstar. But I do not know who else. A few other ladies, I suspect."
"Sounds like a pleasant way to spend the afternoon." Rin weighed her options in her head. Several guests were good. She would be the least important person there, and thus, the most likely to be overlooked. If she played her cards right, she could go to this little party, fade into the crowd, leave early, and lose Marcite in the process. She might even be able to slip a discreet word to Brenora and see if they had learned anything useful with the royal family when she and Trebok were busy breaking into the committee offices last night. "I would be delighted to come," Rin told the prince, and took another sip of her coffee.
"I just do not understand why you cannot go with the prince,"
Marcite whispered as their heels clicked down the hall.
You are behaving very strangely, Ren said. Normally you cannot wait to take me to these parties.
I just think that maybe you should be preparing for the mask tonight. It will be such an event, and this tea is clearly just a waste.
But Marcite cut herself short as they pulled to a stop in front of two large gold double doors. Marcite produced a written invitation and handed it to one of the guards on either side of the doors. They stood aside to allow Ren to enter, but when Marcite moved forward, they held up their hands, stopping her in her tracks. The silent refusal was clear. The maid would be allowed this far and no further. For a moment, Ren thought Marcite might argue. She had that look in her eye, the look of a child trying to work themselves up to say or do the right thing. But then she licked her lips and swallowed the words back down.
I will be right out here, should you need me,
she whispered to Ren, squeezing her fingers and staring into her eyes.
Right out here, right in this hall.
Thank you, Marcite, Ren replied, pulling her hand free and trying to push away the feeling of unease bubbling below her heart. She was led past grand rooms and through opulent doors, till at last she stood in a bright room decorated in pastel blues and pinks. Ren heard the door click shut behind her. It was only then that she realized the princess was the only person sitting at the table, piled high with sandwiches and pastries. This is a trap, Ren thought, as she watched the future queen of Altair slink towards her. It was very hard for anyone who was dressed in light purple to slink. It was even harder to slink when the dress a person was wearing was wide enough and had enough frills to be mistaken for a very large and overly decorated cake. And yet, Lithril's body seemed to only know how to slink, to prowl, to move forward with the focused intensity of a woman who knew exactly what she wanted and how to get it.
Ren,
the princess said, arms wide and welcoming, her voice turning Ren's name into a lullaby.
Thank you for accepting my invitation.
Ren mentally looked through her disguises and borrowed personalities. How was she going to play this? Who had the best chance of making it out of this situation unscathed?
Of course, Ren said, smiling wide, voice pitched high, as she moved forward with nervous, chipper excitement.
Though, I must admit, I did not think I would be the only one here. Surely you did not do all of this for me.
Lithril met Ren halfway, took her hand, and guided her to the table. She flicked a dismissive wrist through the air as she took her seat.
Nonsense. You are my brother's new favorite, so naturally I must get to know you better.
Ren sat, and they both pulled their chairs in with what felt like a synchronized movement.
So, if I am being honest, you are mostly here to even the numbers.
So, other people are joining us?
Ren asked, hoping she sounded like an eager sycophant, and not someone who was relieved she would not have to be alone with Lithril for too much longer. Ren had developed an awareness of people like Lithril, the kind of people who could only ever think of living things in terms of obstacles or tools. In Ren's experience, it was better to walk through these individuals' orbits unnoticed and untouched, never thought of at all. Lithril said, with a quick little nod, reaching forward to select a small sandwich before pouring tea into Ren's cup.
Queen Benora and her servant should be here shortly.
Only the four of us, then?
Ren asked, taking the offered cup of tea. She nodded.
I thought it would be nice to keep the party intimate, just us girls.
Ren nodded in agreement and absently stirred two sugars from the bowl in front of her into her cup. Quiet fell between them, like the steady beat of a leaking roof, a drip, drip, dripping rhythm that made it impossible not to notice the passage of time. And with every silent second, Ren felt the weight of Lithril's stare. She looked around the room for something, anything, to prattle about, to fill the silence. Her gaze landed on the yellow, opalescent cup in her hand, shining and smooth against the dark and swirling tea.
These cups are so charming,
Rin giggled. Her comment was met with silence, which she chose to ignore. The woman who she was pretending to be would be too starstruck to notice a little something, like her conversation being snubbed. The whole room is charming, really. It is so bright and colorful. In white silver, people never think to decorate with anything but most women. Lithril interrupted, slowly stirring her tea.
When invited to tea with the princess, would wear something to set themselves apart. You, however, have chosen to dress like the servant you are.
My apologies, Your Majesty. She tried, but was once again cut off.
I respect a person who knows their place,
Lithril said, pausing long enough to set her spoon on her saucer and take a small sip from the matching blue cup.
My brother considers himself a man of the people, or some such nonsense.
And, because of this, he tends to attract the wrong sort of company.
An impractical sort of company.
She sent Ren a meaningful look. Ren gave a small smile and leaned forward.
Brothers can be tricky. I have a few of my own. They can be hard work.
Oh, the trail is not hard work necessarily. Though I do worry about him.
Ren watched the princess's fingers absently travel up to touch the emerald pendant hanging from her neck.
Truth be told, he is too much like our mother. She too wanted Artiel to be more present in this world. You know, if she had lived, I would have been betrothed and sent to live with my intended till I was of age.
Ren had often seen the trance of memory take people. She'd seen it just the other day with Trevok as he skimmed the documents, or Brenora as she held her mother's brooch. Lithril stared at some unseen spot over Ren's shoulder, seeing things that were not there, remembering things that were and might have been.
Is that what you wanted?
Ren asked, gently leaning forward, not wanting to break the spell.
No,
the princess whispered.
My place is here. My purpose is here.
Lithril stayed very still for a half breath more, and then shook herself as if rising from sleep. She turned and looked at Ren.
Drink your tea,
she said with a good-natured smile.
It will get cold.
Ren smiled as she raised the cup to drink, the heat from the rim brushing her lips before the liquid had even touched her mouth.
Ren knew this sensation. She knew this taste. She knew the feel of this slightly thickened drink. The sweet, metallic zip that shot from her lips to her tongue was followed by an involuntary relaxing of her shoulders and neck. It was as if fingers were wrapping around her shoulders, gently kneading them, coaxing her mind and body into a pleasant place somewhere between waking and sleeping. And then she heard the voice again. The same voice that had slithered into her mind that night and every night since she had been in Altair.
Take your medicine, little Ren, it said in hushed tones that were far too forceful to be considered a whisper.
He's here, Ren thought to herself. He's found you, at last.
In Vaelna, she whispered without realizing she had spoken. Impossible.
What was that?
Asked a voice somewhere to Ren's left.
She did not want to look. She knew. Logically, she knew that voice did not belong to him, that he had no place in this room surrounded by these paisley carpets and pastel draperies. That voice was too light and sweet to be his, and still she was sure that when she forced herself to lift her head, it would not be the princess sitting in that padded chair. It would be him, her former teacher, her former master.
Someone whistled and snapped their fingers. Ren, they said in a sing-song voice.
Ren, are you still with me?
Ren lifted her head and looked at the woman who had undoubtedly drugged her. It had been a favorite tool of her former master. Something small to slip into someone's drink, to make them more willing to trust you, and to tell you secrets. He had regularly given it to Ren as punishment, but also as training. What good would she be to him if she could not perform her duties the same, whether she was sober, drunk, injured, or drugged? Still, The poison that was swirling around her tea was not exactly the same as the one she had been regularly dosed with in her youth. No, what she had been given as a girl was subtler and meant for influencing as much as directing. This, however, had no subtlety to it. This was a battering ram, not a skeleton key.
Demoiselle,
Lithrell said in a chiding tone as she gave Ren's cheeks three sharp slaps.
You need to wake up. Pull yourself together. You cannot be drooping before our other guests have even arrived.
The small suggestion hit Ren's body like a bucket of cold water, and she rode the wave of adrenaline that accompanied it back towards awareness and mental control. Separate and identify, Ren thought to herself. What are her thoughts and what are your thoughts? What do you want and what does she want? What do you need to do and what will she be expecting?
There you are, the princess crooned at her. For a moment, I was worried I made this too strong.
The tea? Ren asked, stalling for time.
Yes, Nerchirar,
Lithrell said, with a condescending smile and a pat on the hand.
The tea.
Ren felt the gesture in slow, echoing motion. Focus, her mind whispered to itself. This would not kill her. That much she already knew. That meant this was not an assassination attempt on the queen or Serafina. So what was the goal here? She did not have any information that was worth drugging a person for. Not yet. Ren had a hard time believing that she was even worth poisoning at all. Who was she to this woman? Nothing but a servant and a passing fancy for her brother. Why do this? Why invite her here to try to take possession of her mind? What goal would that serve that could not be accomplished in an easier, less convoluted way?
You are drooping again,
came the pleasant, lilting voice. Up, up, up. Ren pulled herself straighter. None of these questions truly mattered in this moment, she reminded herself. What mattered was what she could do to leave this room alive. Something like concern crossed Lithrell's face.
Why don't you have some more tea?
She suggested with a firm voice and a hard stare. Ren raised the cup, but left it hovering just on the other side of her lips.
What is the matter?
The princess asked.
Drink the tea.
Ren stared at the cup in her hand. There was no way in the unknowable void she was going to willingly put more of this drink in her body.
Drink the tea,
Lithrell commanded through closed teeth. Ren looked up and stared into the bottomless black eyes of her host. Her perception of reality was starting to go. Lithrell's eyes had not been that big or dark a moment ago. Lithrell tilted her head to one side, squinting her eyes and pursing her lips in consideration of the disobedient servant in front of her.
Are you going to make this difficult? I do hate when things become difficult.
An ally. Ren needed an ally. And as if in answer to that thought, the door opened behind her. Before they could even be announced, Ren was out of her chair, bounding over to the queen and Serafina, greeting them like old friends.
Do not drink the tea, she whispered in both of their ears as she kissed the air beside their cheeks.
Thank you for having us, Serafina said, stiff with anxiety, eyes reflexively checking the corners of the room.
Brenora said nothing as she took her seat, simply staring at the princess as if daring her to draw her weapon first. Lithrell either did not notice how the queen was looking at her or did not care. She poured her guest tea and passed the cups around the table with long, elegant motions that hypnotized Ren.
Breathe, she thought to herself. Do not fight it. Keep your mind here.
Her eyes danced across the table, looking for a detail that would tether her to this reality. Her vision bounced from walls to cups to sandwiches to the queen's dress, each new detail skittering away from her like sand sliding through her fingers. And then she heard something, a strange, pulsing, wavering whistle. At first, she was not sure if it was real or if it was another trick brought on by the drug, but then she noticed a crease in Lithril's forehead and knew that the princess heard it too. Lithril snapped her fingers and a servant materialized at her side, making Rin jump.
"Touché," she commanded.
Rin smiled as she felt the order issued to someone else pull on her own mind. "What does she want?" Rin asked herself, picking up her napkin, absently looking for the source of the whistling. It was an odd sensation, she thought as she bent over to peer under the table, wanting to follow an order but not having the language to understand the command. It was a puzzle, and Rin loved a puzzle.
"What are you doing?"
Lithril demanded, causing Rin to flinch and bang her head on the table.
"Get up! You are embarrassing yourself in front of your betters."
"Sorry," Rin said, sitting up, genuinely shaken by her lack of self-control. "Sorry, I was just looking for..." And then a sudden thought jumped in her mind. "I was looking for that whistling," she said, smile growing wide across her face. "That's what you said to your servant, isn't it? You told him to go look for that whistling." She was slurring her words now, relaxing her speech, but Rin could not help but be excited. She was right. She knew she was right. And she felt Lithril's mind twitch in frustration. "I'm right," Rin cackled, tipping her head back and crowing at the small victory.
"Stop that," Lithril ordered. "You are making a fool of yourself, demoiselle."
Rin's laughing came to a forced, hiccuping stop. She looked at the other women at the table. Both sat statue still. Brenora was looking at the princess with the unblinking posture of a trained huntress, and Seraphina was staring at Rin with startling concern. Rin felt her stomach flip-flop with something that was very close to embarrassment. She tried to wrestle her impulses back under control and muttered, "I would have thought that was half the point." Lithril's thoughts jerked back at her words, and Rin gave a triumphant grin. Forgetting her resolve to not embarrass herself, she sloshed over the table, tipping over the sugar bowl and almost upsetting Seraphina's cup, chasing the sensation of Lithril's intent. She squinted at the princess's face as it swam in and out of focus, trying to make it stay in one place. "No," Rin said, giving hard, deliberate enunciation to each syllable. "No, that's not half the point, but it is part of the point. What else are you trying to do here, princess?" Rin felt another jump inside her mind that did not belong to her, that startled movement of a surprised and surrounded animal. "Ha!" Rin spat out. "Didn't know this door swung both ways, did you? That should teach you to go messing around in people's minds when it's beyond your understanding." She was dimly aware she was being a fool. She knew that this was not how she would normally have played this game, with words and actions tumbling out of her faster than she could even comprehend. She also knew, somewhere in the back of her mind, that what she had been dosed with as a child was not as strong as what she had just been given. However, she only had a split second to spare for these thoughts before Rin saw the color drain from Lithril's face and felt the rage bubbling just on the other side of her expression. The mental hit was so strong that it sent Rin physically rocking back in her chair and stole the air from her lungs.
"I think you will find that there is very little beyond my understanding,"
Lithril said in a calm voice as Rin struggled to find breath.
"Now, sit up, you absolute embarrassment, and stay silent until I tell you to speak."
Rin's mouth clapped shut. She sent a worried glance towards her companions. Seraphina's poise was cracking around the edges. The etheric desperately looked at Brenora, begging the dwarven warrior with her eyes. However, the queen just gave a single, small shake of her head.
"That's better," Lithril said with a pointed smile. "Now, Your Majesty, Demoiselle Morningstar, please drink your tea.
No, Brenora said flatly. I do not make it a habit of knowingly drinking poison. The queen's eyes flashed green lightning, and the room was silent for two very long breaths.
You told them,
Lithril said. Her voice rumbled with accusation as she once again turned her full attention to Ren. Ren felt the heat first as her body flushed, and then the squeezing in her chest began. Pinned to her seat by the command Lithril had given, Ren sat still, straight, and unmoving as she felt invisible hands start to close around her heart. No, Renora repeated, as she shook out her wrist to reveal a small piece of wood fashioned into a bracelet with a small bit of string. This did. She slowly moved the charm over the table, the whistling growing louder and changing its pitch. The queen placed her hand over the teapot, and they all listened as the musical note faded and slowed. So not the tea, then, she said, moving her hand to hover over the sugar bowl. As she did, the sound grew louder, turning from a whistle to a shriek. Seraphina covered her ears in surprise, and Lithril flinched back. Even Ren, who was still fixed to the chair by Lithril's will, found the strength to shrink away from the noise. But Brenora did not move. She held her hand still, unblinking as the noise grew louder, wrapping them all in a disorienting, painful fog of sound. She waited to the count of five, then tore the charm from her wrist and crushed it in her large, strong hands. Quiet pressed in around them, like a welcome blanket at the end of a long day. "Please explain," the Queen of Durandir commanded. "Why there is poison in the sugar bowl." A cold, wet slither traveled through Ren's mind as Lithril quickly weighed options and switched tactics.
"Oh, thank goodness,"
the princess giggled, pointed nails coming up to brush her pale neck.
"I was worried she had given you the wrong impression."
"Please," Brenora said, tone drier than salt, "tell me what kind of impression you were trying to make by spiking your guests' drinks." There was a synchronized shift in the body language of the queen and her lady-in-waiting, a subtle relaxing of the shoulders and jaw as they changed from nobility to warriors. Ren felt Lithril sense it too, but she was determined not to be backed into a corner, not at her party, not in her kingdom.
"You are my guests. I would never harm my guests,"
Lithril pleaded and promised, looking deep into Brenora's eyes and trying with all her might to push sympathy into her stare.
"What would you call Ren then?" Seraphina challenged.
The righteous outrage and indignation rolled off her in waves. It was a tingling, pulling sensation that was meant to drive people to action. Ren doubted that the etheric knew she was broadcasting her feelings to the whole table. Nevertheless, she was flooding the air with her emotions, and those emotions were mixing rather poorly with Lithril's desires in Ren's mind. The room spun around her as Ren remained still in her seat.
"Uninvited,"
Lithril replied with cold finality. The princess's black eyes roamed over Seraphina, and Ren felt a chill race through her spine and grab her throat. Then, the future elven queen smiled apologetically and shook her head.
"This has gotten up to a very messy start. Let me explain this misunderstanding away before we accidentally start a war."
Lithra laughed at her own joke, as the rest of the room sat silent.
"Yes, you are my guests, and I am your host. And what sort of host would I be if I did not provide entertainment?"
Lithril nodded towards Ren, and Ren felt the partial truth of the statement, like a thin blade against her throat. "Keep your mouth shut and your thoughts to yourself," the invisible knife said. "You drugged her for our entertainment?" Brenora asked, disbelieving and slow.
"Oh, do not look like that. It is quite fun," Lithril
said as she giggled and playfully slapped the queen's wrist.
Ask her to do something. Ask her a question. She will have to answer honestly.
The other woman looked at Lithril like they were waiting for the punchline of the joke. But Ren knew all too well that she was serious.
Oh, fine, the princess said with an exasperated wave of her hands. I will start.
The dainty little tea room, with its pastel pinks and large windows, got very dark in Ren's eyes as Lithril's full attention settled back on her shoulders.
Pour the teapot in your lap,
Lithril said, with a small, pointed smile.
Wait,
Seraphina cried out before Ren could reach for the pot, slapping her hand over it to secure it in place.
This is pointless, needless. Why do this to her? I can assure you, Princess, we are not entertained. We are just uncomfortable.
Lithril looked at Seraphina like she was a small child inconveniencing the rest of the class with a tantrum.
I am entertained, Demoiselle,
Lithril said. Then she swiveled her head to face Brenora and fixed the Queen of Durandir with a look so heavy, Ren thought it might flatten her to the table.
And I will be entertained however I wish, by whomever I wish, within the walls of my own kingdom.
The room froze for half a beat, the princess's words and their unsaid meaning sang through the room. I am the one in charge here, they said. Challenge me at your own peril. Waves of realization crashed over Ren, wave after wave of thought that beat her into the sand and carried her out to sea against her will. First, Lithril would torture her in front of these people to make a point if given the chance. Later today, everyone might be willing to dip back behind the lace fans and pretend to smile through courtly custom. Right now, however, the gloves were off, the knives were out, and Ren was dressed to play the part of helpless sacrifice. Second, just because this was a more forceful method than Ren was used to, that did not mean that this potion had been made by an inexperienced hand. Lithril had done this before. How many times? Ren wondered. And before she could stop herself, she was diving into Lithril's mind to go searching for the answer. Images flashed behind Ren's eyes, bright and disorienting. Light reflected off of countless little bottles, lined up like stoppered soldiers. Down the rows of glass she flew till she reached the end. And there, rotting and moldering on a throne, dressed in jewels and a crown, was a corpse. Ren tore her mind away from the vision, back to her body and reality. This princess would kill her if she knew what Ren had just seen. That much was certain. However, as she sat silently gripping the arms of the chair, trying to force her breaths to come at a slow, measured pace, it became increasingly clear that Lithril was too distracted to notice anything Ren was doing. She could feel the cold and clammy tentacles of control slipping from around her throat before she heard the raised voices or understood what the words were saying.
Are you claiming her, then?
Lithril asked. Ren blinked her eyes and looked at Brenora as she said, That's not what I said. Ren flexed her fingers and tried to discreetly shift in her chair. She could move. So long as Lithril was not directly focusing on her, she could move.
But, Seraphina chimed in with forceful hesitance, we are not going to sit here as you pour scalding tea on an innocent woman.
She could move. Now, what did she want to do with that information? She could not run from the room, but she could not truly defend herself. She was not even sure she could say no once the princess's full attention was on her again.
Are you certain she is innocent?
Lithril asked, putting another small sandwich on her plate.
Very few people are truly innocent, after all. I am sure we could find something to hold against her if we looked hard enough.
Why don't we excuse Ren to go back to her rooms, and we talk about this as equals? Brenora bargained in an even tone that Ren doubted she truly felt.
Yes, Seraphina agreed, unable to hide her urgency. There is no reason for her to be here. Let's send her away and start over.
There was fear and anger in Seraphina's voice, and it mixed with the still and silent rage that dripped off of Lithril. It twirled around Rin in an invisible cloud and landed on her skin, sending flashes of hot and cold through her body. Her head pounded, and she thought that she might be sick.
"Are you telling me what to do?" Lithril asked,
voice a sharp shard of ice.
"Yes," Rin decided. She was definitely going to be sick. Then another thought popped into her mind.
"No," Seraphina said, "but we are letting you know what we are comfortable with."
Would it be such a bad thing to be sick right now? Rin wondered to herself. After all, she had a small mouthful of the tea. It was wearing off now, but purging the rest from her system certainly could not hurt.
Lithril snorted and turned to Brenora.
"Does your servant always speak for you? I have noticed that you do very little of the talking. Do you also do very little of the deciding?"
"Seraphina is my ally, not my servant, and I do trust her to speak for me," Brenora said, somehow making herself larger than the taller woman beside her. "We are of one mind on most things. If she says we are not comfortable with your current behavior, we are not comfortable with your current behavior. And if she says that we will not stand by and let this woman be harmed, we will not stand by and let this woman be harmed." Rin had given up on the question of if she would throw up and had moved on to where would she throw up. Her first impulse was down the front of Lithril's dress, but there was a table between them, and her survival instinct was too strong to willingly douse this particular serpent in vomit. Besides, her innate cleanliness and need for organization made it almost impossible for her to just release chaos into an environment without at least attempting to contain it.
"Demoiselle Rin?"
Rin felt Lithril's attention on her again, heavy but distant now.
"I am clearly losing my patience. Pour out the tea."
Rin had to fight the smile back as she reached forward to grab the teapot that undoubtedly cost more than Rita and the family saw in 3 years. Out of the corner of her eye, Rin saw Seraphina lunge forward, attempting to stop her from emptying the scalding liquid onto her lap. But Rin was too fast. The teapot was in her hands and the lid was off before anyone could cry out no. Then she bent double and retched. She heaved and spasmed as the burning metal melted away at her palms. Up came the coffee, the rosemary scone, the small bit of cake she had nibbled on, and the metallic, sweet taste of the tea. The room was silent as Rin gently replaced the lid and put what remained of the tea and her breakfast back on the table. Then she dabbed at her mouth with the napkin, stood, and collapsed back into her chair. The tea party was over. You've been listening to Thought Thief by K.E. Preston, narrated by K.E. Preston. Thought Thief is also available in paperback and ebook at kepreston.net. If you've enjoyed what you've heard, please consider leaving us a review or even sharing this with a friend. If you've really enjoyed what you've heard, there is bonus content available on our Patreon. Every dollar there allows me and my family to keep doing what we love, which is sharing this story with you. Thought Thief is recorded and edited by me, K.E. Preston, with editing help from Hanson Lyman and Mark Gardner. Thought Thief is a work of fiction written by K.E. Preston, with developmental editing and linguistics help by Amanda Berry. Thought Thief is a Lit Lab production. Thank you for listening.